This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. And streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program on this Thursday, January 9th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite here in downtown Madison, where we come to you from the world headquarters and across the state of Wisconsin. But again, our thoughts, our prayers, our good vibes, all of that, going out to friends and family in Southern California going through that great tragedy. Again, many thanks to L.A. Tom for taking time out of his day. We're glad that he and his immediate friends and family are safe. But of course, as you heard him say, apparently at least one of his friends had lost their home, certainly thinking about them. And now estimates, according to CNN, going to exceed $50 billion, with a B, $50 billion. And that's just the estimate up to date. Again, the fires have apparently died down from local weather forecasters, probably the winds, but there is a chance that those could reignite later this afternoon and cause even more damage. Mr. Zommers?
If you are in a place financially to be able to donate or otherwise help, Time Magazine has a really good list of places where local, like LA and other police chiefs and fire chiefs and stuff, have recommended donating. Mm-hmm. Including places like the California Fire Foundation Wildfire and Disaster Relief Fund. That's a mouthful, but if you just look up California Wildfire Relief, you can find it. World Central Kitchen to help people get food when all these grocery stores and houses are burned
down.
Jose
Andreas just got the award from President Biden for all his work around the world and here in the United States. It's a great example.
Yes. And Salvation Army. There's some others. I'll put the link to this collection in the podcast description.
Great job. Really appreciate you doing that. And again, as they say, everything helps. $5, $10, $20 helps. If you can afford to do more, great. But make sure you use these sorts of notable and trustworthy charitable organizations like World Kitchen. As I said to LA Tom, I mean, so many, we're hearing from people on the ground where their grocery store is gone. Schools or their markets are gone. And, you know, where do you go from there? So we're going to need organizations like World Kitchen to come in and provide basic necessities for folks here in our own country. And of course, these tragedies are also things that are great equalizers as well. As LA Tom kind of noted there, where a lot of this damage was done, there are everyday folks like you and I, but there are also celebrities living in this area. Academy Award-winning actress Jamie Lee Curtis, who has lived in Pacific Palisades neighborhood of Los Angeles for decades, announced she and her family are donating $1 million towards relief in Los Angeles County. She says, quote, "My husband and I and our children have pledged $1 million for our family foundation to start a fund of support for our great city and state and the great people who live here and love there," Curtis wrote in an Instagram post, noting neighbors and friends are banding together to save each other. She goes on to say, "It's gnarly, you guys. It's just a catastrophe in Southern California." As she appeared last night on The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon, she said, quote, "This is literally where I live. Everything, the market I shop in, the schools my kids go to, friends, many, 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 many friends now have lost their home," unquote. Curtis said she is in communication with state and local leadership to determine where her donations need to be directed, quote, "for the most impact," unquote. So again, Zommers will post those list of credible help organizations where if you're able to donate something, do it. And again, we stand with our fellow Americans out there in Southern California at this hour. Coming up in a minute, going to talk a little bit about your chance on what's worse here. Going to talk, yes, college football. Days like today, right? National Day of Remembrance for someone like Jimmy Carter. All the former presidents coming together. A bipartisan moment. I guess we have to celebrate moments, right? And then you have this tragedy in Los Angeles. Everything else just kind of seems secondary. So certainly no disrespect to those things, but as they say, you know, life moves on in other parts of the world, and so we're going to continue that a little bit as well and talk a little bit about this hour, things to watch for in the 119th Congress, including things that are going to affect Wisconsinites. How can we hold our elected officials here in Wisconsin accountable as this Congress moves forward? And again, I want to talk to a moment for a lot of folks who are going through a lot yet from this last election. I get that. Again, my person that I wanted to win the presidential election didn't win. And I get the anger and the angst. But my goal here is to try to help us look at this through a lens of channeling that into productive means. I don't care whether it's in the state legislature or the governor's office or federal Congress and presidency. I want to try as much as we can in this year to focus on how do we help things get done? How do we understand, as our friend Tom in Los Angeles did, calmly talk through things and get facts out to people? And then how do we take those facts and bring about change? So we're going to look at this, what's happening in Congress a little bit through that lens as well. By the way, Wisconsin basketball back in action tomorrow at home in the Kohl Center against the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Game time around, I believe, 6:30, pregame show at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock, you can hear it on select stations on the Civic Media Radio Network in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center, WRCE, the old home station there in southwest Wisconsin. And if you don't live in one of those places, have no fear. You can stream the game. Good old Matt LePay and Brian Butch on the Badger Radio Network Learfield right here on Civic Media. Just download the Civic Media app. It is free. Won't cost you a dime on your Apple or Android device. Open it up. Go to one of those stations that I mentioned, and you can listen to tomorrow night's basketball game between Minnesota and Wisconsin on the Civic Media app for free, gratis. Tonight, college football playoffs gets underway once again. Notre Dame taking on Penn State in the Orange Bowl. Looking forward to that a little bit as well. But right now, at 13 past the hour of 1 o'clock, time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. This or that, this or that. Then, of course, the choice is yours. You can get with this or you can get with that. You can get with this or you can get with that. You can get with this. Time once again for What's Worse. No prize money involved, nothing to give away, but your chance to have your voice heard across the state of Wisconsin on Wisconsin's largest privately owned radio network. You have Wisconsin Public Radio, which does a fine job, but the biggest radio network in Wisconsin, privately owned, right here at Civic Media. We cover all of the major markets and places in between, all across the great state of Wisconsin, from Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, Green Bay, to the old Mississippi River and points in between. All right, here we go. This is a social experiment, Zommers, they've given us today.
Yes. Yes, it is.
You have to think about this one. What's worse, staring or not making eye contact? What's worse, staring or not making eye contact? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. And I guess, again, these are kind of open-ended. You could say, well, what's worse if you or I do it? Or I think maybe it's more in a social setting. I've had this happen, like particularly I go somewhere to an event and I'm with other people. I know some people there, but I don't know any. It might be someone's partner or their boyfriend or their girlfriend or whatever. And there are people that I don't know. And you're sitting at a table, you're in a social setting, and someone is either staring at you, or you feel they are, or when you try to interact with that other person, they just will not make eye contact. So what's worse, staring or not making eye contact? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Gary in Sussex, what is worse, staring or not making eye contact?
Oh, staring is way worse. I had an employee one time, and I'm a heating contractor, so the guy went into the house, and he was working on the stuff, and the lady started talking to him as he was leaving, and all he did was just looked at her and stared at her.
Oh my God.
Never blinked.
Really?
And she asked him some questions, and he just kind of looked at her, didn't say anything. So she called me up, and she said, "Rich is scaring me. Please get him out of my house." I said, he's harmless. So, yes,
but you raise a great point, Gary. You raise a great point. I'm not asking you to divulge personal information about your employees or former employees, but there are some people that might have a condition or whatever that, like, you know, that's kind of their personality built in, and other people don't know that. And so it can be kind of like an uncomfortable situation. Well, and then there are other people that don't have a condition. That's just kind of their rather odd personality.
Yeah, well, people who don't, you know, when I talk to my customers, I need to make eye contact with them because I have to tell the truth. If I'm not making eye contact with them and I'm telling them, yeah, your furniture shot, I've got a cracked heat exchanger, and I'm kind of looking down to the side, they're not going to believe, you know.
Totally agree. I do not want to do business with someone that can't look me in the eye.
There you go.
All right. Appreciate you, Gary.
Day.
Yep, thank you. Stay warm out there. Appreciate it. What's worse, staring or not making eye contact? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. And again, there are folks out there that might have a condition for these things, but we're talking about people who don't have a medical condition or anything. I think we've all been in those kind of those uncomfortable group settings where you're like, you don't know what to do.
Yeah, I feel like I'm always very aware of my eye contact. And I will find sometimes that I feel like I'm staring at someone too long. And so I'll look off to the side, but then they'll look where I'm looking. And I'm like, I was just looking so that you don't think I'm staring at you.
Right.
And especially meeting new people, especially women, I don't want or female presenting people. I don't want them to think I'm being creepy. I want them to know, like, you know what? I'm not going to stare at you.
I'm not a creeper.
Yeah.
You get a t-shirt. Just says, I'm not a creeper.
That would have the opposite effect.
855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Asking the burning question, what's worse, staring or not making eye contact? Karina, listening on WMTX in Milwaukee, we'll have you when we come back. Zahmer starts the music just in the nick of time. I wasn't even staring at him. We'll come back. Take Karina's call and more, 855-752-4842. What's worse, staring or not making eye contact?
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
And good afternoon, everybody. It is 21 past the hour of 1 o'clock, a Civic Media News special report. According to Channel 3000 WISD, the TV CBS affiliate here in Madison, headline, the new Lisbon homicide suspect has been found. Dateline Juneau County. For those that might not be familiar, Juneau County is just to the north and west of Wisconsin Dells. According to WISD TV3, Virgil Few, the suspect from the December 30th New Lisbon homicide that killed a woman and two juveniles, has been found in Juneau County, according to a post on the Juneau County Sheriff's Office Facebook page. Few faces three counts of first-degree intentional homicide. Elizabeth Kolba, 33, was identified as the woman victim. The two juveniles were 12 and 13. One of the minors was reported missing in Monroe County. During the search, the bodies were discovered in a New Lisbon home. It appears, keyword appears at this hour, Virgil Few has been captured alive and will stand charges on this first-degree intentional homicide, three counts in Juneau County. Again, the headline at this hour, Virgil Thew, the suspect in the December 30th New Lisbon homicide that killed a woman and two juveniles, has been found in Juneau County, according to a post on Juneau County Sheriff's Facebook page. And he faces those counts of first-degree intentional homicide. Civic Media will have updates throughout the day. For now, I'm Todd Albaugh. Civic Media News Special Report. Welcome back to the Todd Albaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 23 now past the hour of 1 o'clock, right in the middle of What's Worse. What do you dial up there, Mr. Sommers? Nicely done.
Somebody's Watching Me by Rockwell.
I like that. Very good. Well, he has a great brain for that stuff. All right, so the What's Worse question, staring or not making eye contact? What is worse, staring or not making eye contact? 855-752-4842. We go to Karina, listening on WAUK in Milwaukee. Karina, what's worse?
Hi, guys. Well, I think they're not talking about disease, but there is a cultural difference in those things.
That's a good point.
For me, it was very uncomfortable because a lot of Americans don't look at your eyes when they talk to you. They look around, but they're actually not looking at you. In the Russian culture, you're lying to me when you do that.
Right.
Or you don't distrust me, or there's something wrong going on that you cannot look at my eyes for crying out loud. And it was one of the cultural shocks when we moved from Russia to here. But for me personally, you can stare at me all day long, but please, when you have a conversation, look at me.
Yeah, that's a great point, the cultural differences. Do you also find it, Karina, that younger people are do not look you in the eye more than people, say, over the age of 50 or not?
I think so, too. You are absolutely right. And I think that their thing is they not doing it. When we moved in 1995, no cell phones. Right. So it was a truly a cultural thing when the people maybe don't have enough attention span. I don't know why, but there are a lot of people when you're talking to them, they're looking everywhere else but you.
I think you've raised another great point that younger folks have gotten into the screens and some older people too, quite frankly, but we've gotten attached to looking at the screens or whatever is kind of secondary, and we don't focus on really what we're engaged with, and that carries over when we engage with people in person. That's a great take, Karina. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. We go to Ann, listening to WCFW. The tap up there in beautiful Chippewa Falls. And what's worse, staring or not making eye contact?
Well, I think not making eye contact, because there are cultures that don't look in people's eyes because of respect. And there's also a lot of kids on the spectrum as adults.
Right.
And they really work on looking at people in the eyes. And it's hard for some people. And I think that we just can't judge either way. That's kind of how I feel.
Yeah, no, another great point. We kind of mentioned this at the front, that there are people, folks that have, you know, certain conditions or whatever, personality disorders or whatever, that they're very uncomfortable making eye contact. So
exactly.
You know, that's an issue to not judge someone just because they're not making eye contact, that there may be more going on there.
Exactly. You know, and I know people really work on it when they know that that's one of their issues. And so I feel like we can't judge people because they don't look you in the eye all the time. You know, they might have a little eye contact, but I just feel like we have to look at the whole person.
Great perspective, Ann. Appreciate you bringing it up. Thanks for your listenership up there at beautiful Chippewa Falls, not far from the banks of Lake Wissota, where Pat Kreitlope comes to you every morning from 6 until 8. On Up North News Radio. I'll be on the program tomorrow, Zommers. They've started a new Friday round table, recurring guests, and Kreitlow has asked me to be on the first panel. So I'll be on in the 7 to 8 hour tomorrow on Up North News.
Well, that should be a fun time.
Should be a good time had by all, as our former teacher Ken Lewis is fond of saying, 855-752-4842. What's worse, staring or not making eye contact? What do we have here? Len in Madison on WMDX says staring is worse. Not making eye contact is ignoring someone. Staring is associated with intimidating behavior. I'd rather be ignored than intimidated, unquote. See, this is why I love these questions, because it's kind of meant a little bit just to have some fun, but then you get all these interesting takes that are kind of serious as well.
That's the thought that I have. That's why I always make sure to not stare at people, because I don't want to be intimidating people.
Right.
That's just not what I'm about. But I will say, if you think about it in the context of, let's say you're going on a date with somebody,
right,
not making eye contact is definitely worse.
Yeah, I mean, if you're having a coffee or certainly dinner and you're not looking at the person you're there on a date with, my guess is you ain't going to get a second date.
If you have some eye contact, sure, but like basically none, that's not going to work.
No.
Unless, as mentioned, they have autism or some other
condition. Unless
if there's a
legit condition. Yeah, absolutely.
Otherwise, it just seems like they're not into you.
Yeah, right. Ever been on one of those kind of date summers?
Yes, I have.
I have actually as well. A lot can be said with the eyes. Linda Gray, great actor from Dallas, once said that the eyes reveal all for an actor. And she is so right. Great actor as well. Come on back. Going to have more on the other side. Talk about the 119th Congress right here on the All Balls Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Yeah, pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Zomer is on the board. Todd behind the mic here on a Tuesday, January 9th. So we'll see. We'll see if we get to the other, because I've been trying to do this story for a couple of days. And I feel like we got to have some serious stuff here with the 119th Congress, but I'm very intrigued by this other story, according to the CDC. And it goes along with this story, that very serious story about the population is on track to be like 200,000 people less in northern Wisconsin by 2050. And it's very concerning that people are aging. We're not having new people move in. The birth rate isn't quick enough. And so a lot of communities in Wisconsin are going to face challenges if younger people aren't there. But here's kind of the sidebar story on this. That Wisconsin has one of the lowest fertility rates in America. Did you know this?
I did, only because you told me from this very article yesterday.
I'm just intrigued by this.
I am too. I wonder why.
Why aren't we more fertile here?
I wonder if it goes into why. I wonder if it has anything to do with the mercury level in the fish or something.
Well, that's,
or all the beer.
That's a point. You want to know what the highest? Guess what the highest fertility rate state in America? Who is the most fertile in America? Wouldn't that be great to have a contest? There he is, most fertility.
I wonder, like, you just do sperm count or whatever for men?
Right? Right? That would be a competition. What's your sperm count to be named Mr. Fertility in America?
I think it's going to have to be on HBO, though. You can't put that on cable.
Right. Double, exactly. It'd be a streaming service. And for some reason, there is literally like a skunk stripe right down the middle of America. And when it comes to fertility, I'm not joking around here.
I mean, does it line up with the Rockies or something?
Just east of the Rockies. Highest fertility state in America, according to the CDC, South Dakota. South Dakota.
I don't know what I would have guessed, but it wouldn't have been that.
Really? South Dakota, followed by Texas, Which my friend Alex would say, you're gal dang right. No surprise there. Texas men very proud of their fertility. North Dakota, right above South Dakota, of course. Nebraska. And then kind of the outlier, Alaska. The most fertile states in America. South Dakota, Texas, North Dakota, Nebraska, and Alaska. I mean, that's very interesting. Andrew in Maine on WAUK says most fertility would have to be where Nick Cannon lives. That is fantastic. That is a great take, Andrew. For those that don't know, Nick Cannon, the former host, and I still say the best host of America's Got Talent, when Mariah Carey, his then wife, was one of the judges on the show, and he always used to introduce her, and he'd say, and now Mariah. And I loved how he said Mariah. But Nick Cannon has what, like 11, 12, 13 kids?
Something like that.
It's crazy. So I agree. Wherever Nick Cannon lives has to be fertile. WAUK Ronnie in Horicon says there has to be a correlation between drinking and infertility. Well, now that's interesting.
Probably.
Maybe. But I think there's a pretty high drinking rate like in North and South Dakota. But I could be wrong.
We are still by far the winners, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Ronnie says since we have the highest drinking rate in the country. Well thought out. Why is it that Wisconsin has one of the lowest fertility rates in America? I mean, this is great that it's prompting calls. I didn't know it would be this great. 855-752-4842. Karina calling back in from Milwaukee. Karina, what do you think on this infertility?
Hi. You know what? I want to know how they're calculating it, actually.
You what?
Who's fertility rate? The man fertility or female?
Well,
I think it's calculating the rate.
Right.
I mean, how you do that?
I don't know the science, Karina. All I'm reporting is what the CDC is saying. I think it's a combination between male and fertility, or male and female. I don't think it's. I haven't seen it where it's divided up. Here we go.
Yeah.
I should have read the footnote. General fertility rate per 1,000 women age 15 to 44.
Because I was going to say, it's not fertility when you're referring to men. I don't remember what it is, but it's something
virility?
Else. I think that's what it is.
Virility. So, all right. There you go.
Is it on the basis of the pregnancies or it's on the basis of the fertility treatment?
I do not know that. It just says this based on a study
it's
of 1,000.
It's weird data. It's just, I work for healthcare. It's just right. Very weird data. It's lopsided. I understand Alaska, they have a night all the time. What else is there to do, really?
I know. You're right. See, that's my point. I was jabbing Pat. Well, that's a bad term to use. I was telling Pat Kreitlow the other day on the show, what's going on up there in northern Wisconsin, it's not cold enough. You understand that the global warming has resulted in people not sleeping together enough. That's why the population is going down.
Or actually, I was thinking maybe they are start talking about that they are putting not the fertilizer, the fertilizers and the pesticides now
twice a
year,
a season,
and there's a lot of farm fields in there.
Yeah,
it may be water, actually.
Yeah, maybe water. Maybe literally might be something in the water. Thanks, Karina. Appreciate you. 855-752-4842. Why is it that Wisconsin ranks as one of the least fertile states in America? Go to Peggy listening in beautiful Brooklyn. Peggy, I have not driven through Brooklyn in a minute. I go through it when I go down to Monroe. How are things in Brooklyn these days? I miss driving through.
Good. So your fertility question, I agree with my daughter. She's 29, and she said, Mom, the younger generation, they're either super, super, super far in debt because they don't know the value of a dollar, or they don't want to go there. So that's why they're not buying houses. That's why they're not buying cars. And that's why some of them are still. My daughter travels for her job. She rents a room from us. She pays for her car in cash. She has more money in the bank than I'll ever have. I charge her rent. But she said people don't want to go in debt, so they're not having kids. They're not having cars because that's where all their money goes, cars and insurance.
Yep.
And they don't want to go there. So they Uber or they, I mean, Brooklyn, you can Uber from Brooklyn, Wisconsin, give me a break, you know?
Right.
And so that's what I honestly agree with her. And I do kind of agree with the water issue with the previous caller.
Yeah. Well, great perspective, Peggy. Because, really, go ahead.
Well, because I've noticed in our area, mm-hmm. and I don't want to get a mass panic here.
Right.
MS in women and Parkinson's is huge in our area. And
really?
I honestly would love to do a study. I bet you had something to do with the farm field pesticide.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, there's all kinds of different issues out there. But yeah, you may be onto something as well. You know, it's a great point. I appreciate it, Peggy. Stay safe and stay well there in the beautiful village of Brooklyn, Mr. Sommers.
I am looking at a little bit of research on how to test fertility.
Yeah.
And you can, it's somewhat of an inexact science as far as I'm aware, but you can do blood tests to check hormone levels and the ovarian reserve, the number of potential eggs remaining. And you can also do ultrasound. I imagine they're not doing ultrasound on all 1,000 of these women, but they could be, to look for structural problems that would make fertility lower.
Yeah, very, very possible. Tony watching on YouTube says he listened to Earl Ingram on Wednesday. Of course, can be heard every morning from 8 until 10 on Civic Media, talking about the water in Wisconsin. So there you go. Another thing to talk about here. I mean, it all kind of, you know, a lot of these things relate. But I just think it's interesting because when you look at the most fertile state, South Dakota, well, lots of agriculture and farming and all kinds of things in South Dakota. North Dakota. It's interesting that it's a streak. It's like a skunk stripe, like a white stripe on a skunk's back. And they're right in line. The most fertile, other than Alaska, who is, you know, not part of the lower 48. But other than Alaska, and including Alaska, the most fertile state in America, South Dakota, then North Dakota, Nebraska, Texas. Interesting that the middle part of the state, or middle part of the country.
I think more research needs to be done.
More research needs to be done. We do a whole show on fertility and vertility. Now, see, Dr. Lyerly would be perfect for this. I bet she could tell us.
I bet she could tell us at least something, at least more than we know.
More than we know, absolutely. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Well, I kind of screwed the pooch on this story, didn't I? Because I was going to go somewhere, and then it went somewhere else.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I'm glad people were interested. Because it just shows my instincts were right. I thought, well, this is very unusual and interesting and odd, and I guess other people did too. But here, we'll be a little more serious, I guess. Looking at the 119th Congress. And try to look at it a little bit through the eyes of here in Wisconsin. Because there's going to be a lot of shiny object distractions in Washington, D.C. starting in a week or so. And I think the key is to try to sort through this and just bring you the truth, bring you the facts and what this all means. So number one, the budget mountain. Donald Trump has a big vision. One big bill that combines tax cuts, the debt ceiling, immigration, a farm bill, and everything else Republicans want. It's a kitchen sink of bills, the omnibus bill of omnibus bills. The details for all that'll be tricky. But first, to pass something like this with just 53 Republicans in the Senate, Trump must get around the Senate's 60-vote requirement using the budget procedural called reconciliation. But to do that, Republicans in both chambers must agree on a budget for the government. And while Donald Trump boasts about constructing things under, quote, budget and ahead of schedule, unquote, Congress more often than not passes no budget and extends their own deadlines. That's why you have to have the continuing resolution. Add to that, Republicans will have a single vote margin in the House of Representatives for the first months in this Congress, and clearly they have disagreements over budgeting and the process. Remember, the Freedom Caucus members sent a warning to Speaker Mike Johnson just last week when they made him go essentially to overtime in order to get that vote and that speakership. So we're also, here's the other big thing to watch. Confirmation fights. Trump has several controversial nominees who have survived their first challenge, press coverage, and general public debate. But they now face their next and perhaps most important test, committee hearings. Hearings start, hang on to your seatbelt, next week with testimony for Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth, Attorney General nominee Pam Bondi, Agricultural Secretary nominee Brooke Rollins, among others. In particular for Wisconsin, and I know the sexy one, you know, is going to be Pete Hegseth for defense and Pam Bondi for Attorney General. But what may affect Wisconsinites even more is Brooke Rollins. How that's going to go down. And again, having no farm bill. And remember, what farm bill is not just folks in who are making a living off the land in agriculture. It's also rolled into the school lunch program. Part of our funding for county extension agents going through the UW system and state budgets. These are things that matter to actual Wisconsinites and affect what's going to happen next. 855-752-4842. We'll go to the phone lines after the break here. I know Wisco Paul is on the phone. Stay tuned, Wisco. We'll come back to you right after the break. But these are things the 119th Congress that we're going to want to follow. Bring you some facts and truth. Also, Trump Thune and the Senate schedule. Trump has an ardent loyalist, and of course, Johnson, the speaker, frequently travels with and appears in photos with Trump. But Senate leader John Thune has had a rockier history with Trump, including openly calling on him to leave the 2016 race. Of course, they patched things up earlier this year. Thune endorsed Trump. But the South Dakota Republican is known as a far more institutionalist than Trump. Remember, Thune is the one that said, no, we're not just going to approve everything you want. We're going to go through the proper order of things here in the United States Senate. And this includes the Senate itself. Thune has set an extraordinary aggressive calendar. A 5-day work week in Washington are unusual for lawmakers, to say the least. We'll come back. Take your phone calls, wrap things up. It's a Thursday edition of the All Ball Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Tall Ball Show on Civic Media, where it is now 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock at the top of the hour. Again, updates from Los Angeles on the absolute tragedy with the fires out there in the greater Los Angeles area. And then followed by a look of weather and sports with Mike Clemens. The Badgers get underway tomorrow night here at home against the Minnesota Golden Gophers. And, of course, Mike Clemens continues to follow the Green Bay Packers as they get ready to take on the Philadelphia Eagles in that wild card game. Kickoff time set for 3 o'clock on Fox. But you can listen to the pregame show starting at 1 p.m. on select stations across Civic Media, including Richland Center, Park Falls, Racine, and Kenosha. Clemens continues to follow that like nobody else in the business. We always appreciate his updates. And then get ready, get set, and go. It is Maggie Dawn and the Maggie Dawn Show from 2 until 4, followed by Dom Selvia, and then Pete Schwabe and Nightlight, followed by Rick Smith Across America, and then our friend Robert Pilot and Native Roots Radio. Another great lineup here on the Civic Media Radio Network. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Wisco Paul has been holding on. Wisco, returned back to one of the things we talked about earlier in the show. Of course, this tragedy happening in Los Angeles and the California fires.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Todd. First of all, Van Norton and Skiles, I think I said his name right, they're both toast if Trump's Secretary of Agriculture screws things up with agriculture, which could happen, but right. their jobs are done if he does that, because that'll hit home and in their congressional districts. But here's the thing that I'm not looking forward to with Trump. He can't say Governor Newsom. He has to say, Governor New Scum. I mean, right. Why LA is burning. Now, that's so childish. And then on top of that, he has to blame the governor of California for LA burning because of the water situation out there. You know, it's
I don't know. I understand how he got elected because Biden, you know, did not quit after 4 years, and there was no primary, and 15 million people sat home and all that. But you have 4 years of this. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if he –
well,
it's just mind-boggling. All right, I'll let you go.
No, no, that's fine. Always appreciate your call, Wisco. Thank you for calling. But I think you bring up a great point in that there are a great many people who feel exactly like you do, Wisco, who are just tired and exhausted already. And to your point, Wisco, they're going 4 more years of this again. And for me, I think, you know, it goes back to the old Mr. Rogers quote. In disaster, look for the helpers. And if you contrast what President-elect Trump is already doing, name-calling, blaming, using inaccurate information at best, lies at worst. Look at the response of Governor Newsom yesterday. I watched him last night on Anderson Cooper on CNN. And Anderson Cooper brought up what Wisco just did, that here's what Trump is saying about you. And Newsom rose above it and refused to take the bait. He said, there's a lot of things I'd like to say right now, Anderson, but I won't. I'm focused on the people of California. And as difficult as it is sometimes to take the high road, I think to a large degree that speaks louder than the name-calling and the childish behavior. Because fighting childish behavior, name-calling, and anger with childish name-calling, anger, behavior, it's... I just don't see how that gets us anywhere. Zomers?
Yeah, we can't always follow the high road. You have right. to know when to pick your battles. I just think when it comes to natural disasters and things like that, that's not the time to pick the battle. That's the time to say, sit down, go back to daycare. Don't say well, that, but take right. the attitude, ignore what he's saying, and take care of business.
Right. And in no way, shape, or form, am I endorsing Trump's behavior at all. Not at all. But again, I'm looking to people who have actually been elected and people who have actually been leaders. And Newsom wasn't taking the bait yesterday. He just wasn't. He was focusing on his constituents, people of California, and making sure that he's talking about truth and facts and getting that out to people. And I know it's Mr. Rogers. I get it. But sometimes truth can be found in the simplest of forms. And when he told the kids, you know, it was his mother that told him in a situation, and he kept passing it on to kids. When things are darkest, look for the helpers. There are always helpers. And I saw that last night in Los Angeles. I was watching this tragedy unfold. There were every day just wondering, there was one, they looked to be in their early 20s. A guy said, look, I only knew this other guy. I've only known him a short time. I don't know if they're coworkers or what. But he rushed over to help him get as much out of his house. They tried to save his house or his apartment, whatever it was. And at one point, the friend's like, dude, we got to go. We tried. And as they were leaving, they had captured this on their cell phone cameras, of course, like that generation does. And there's trees falling and on fire behind them as they left. But that guy was there to help his friend and invited him, to a guy that he hadn't known that long, to come live with him and be there. Celebrities like Jamie Lee Curtis and others, who are just going out in the street and helping their fans, basically, because they live in the same neighborhood. Not to mention the countless firefighters, EMS workers, all the other public service people who are running towards the fire to put that out and to help and offer assistance. That's what I'm choosing to look at as the positive in this, the hopefulness. And we can see it in each of our communities, whether it's in LA or whether it's here in Wisconsin. There are always helpers. And that's what gives me hope. Not just today, but in the 4 years ahead. Great show today. Appreciate everybody for being here. Thank you to Mr. Zomers. In tomorrow, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez will be with us in hour number two. Not going to want to miss that. And Brady Ewing, big show tomorrow. Join us then. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.